Certainly in the paper yesterday, there was a headline which was quite interesting. It's 100,000 infected by swine flu in a week. And it goes on, it says, swine flu infected at least 100,000 Britons last week, officials announced yesterday. And I know there was an article actually posted on the news section of the website, if you want to go and check that, where France has actually expelled a whole load of school children because of the swine flu, because some of them showed symptoms of it. It says Sir Liam Donaldson, the chief medical officer, said that there was now 840 patients in hospital in England with swine flu, 63 of them in intensive care, and children were being hit hardest. And it goes on into the rest of the article there. What I'd like to do today is certainly talk about swine flu, but I want to talk about swine flu and how it fits into the prophesied picture as a whole, because certainly these kinds of things are going to increase, and it's something that we need to be aware of, something that we need to be aware of as far as prophecy is concerned. And so when we do actually see headlines like this, because this is by no means going to be the last headline at all that you'll see on these kinds of subjects, we need to be able to see the prophesied picture and also where God actually places his people in these regards, because we're going to have to rely on God progressively more and more as time goes on into the future. And in these kinds of areas, it is important. I was talking to somebody from another country who was planning to come across for the feast into an area where there was swine flu. And one of their relatives was saying that, oh, well, if that is the case, then you won't find me here when you get back, because I'm not about to go ahead and stay in the same house as somebody who's been in this particular country. So it is something that some people are taking quite seriously, and it is something that we need to really at least understand prophetically. Where do the prophecies actually fit? To start with, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And just understand that when we're looking at the four horsemen that are mentioned over in Revelation, these particular horsemen have lasted really right the way down through the ages. We find the first one, the white horse in verse 2 in Revelation 6, which is false religions. It's talking about, as it were, the noise of thunder in the preceding verse, and the messages of the thunders that were mentioned elsewhere in Revelation are the messages, as far as we know, of the true church. But this is a false religion that is in the world, and it's been in the world since the time of Christ all the way through, even before the time of Christ in that sense. It's just an extension of what was before. Secondly, you're looking out at war in verse 4, and on a red horse, and then you come into the black horse, so you're looking at famine. And then you finally, it says in verse 7, when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard with the voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And I know I looked in the interlinear today, and it says pale green. So it looks a very sick horse, let's put it that way, a pale green horse. And his name that was sat on him was Death, and Hell followed him. And the power was given unto them, now presumably unto all of these particular four horsemen, to kill a quarter of the earth altogether. Now, whether in fact it just refers, because in the margin it says unto him, whether in fact it's referring just to that last one, the quarter of the earth, or whether it's all of them. But we're looking at these things being birth pains. And as birth pains rise and fall through the centuries, so we've seen these kind of things happening. And when we're looking at 100,000 infected by swine flu in a week, certainly it is part of these birth pains. It's part of the process, wars, famines, pestilences. It's all part of that process, and the false religions, of course. The interesting point is that these accidents, some of these things are actually come as a result of accidents within the world. It's interesting that Baxter, it says last December, the Austrian branch of the US vaccine company Baxter, this is coming from Times of India, by the way, timesofindia.com. The Austrian branch of US vaccine company Baxter sent a batch of ordinary human H3N2 flu, altered so that it couldn't replicate, to Ava Green Hills Biotechnical, also in Austria. In February, a lab in the Czech Republic working for Avia alerted Baxter that unexpectedly, ferrets that were inoculated with the sample had died. It turned out that the sample contained live H5N1, which Baxter uses to make vaccine. The two seem to have been mixed in error. So you can see how some of these real, you know, they're dealing with these live vaccines, they're dealing with these live pathogens in the laboratories, and you wonder how safe they are as they ship them between laboratories. Accidental release of mixture of live H5N1 and H3N2 viruses could have resulted in dire consequences. While H5N1 doesn't easily infect people, H3N2 viruses do, and if somebody exposed to a mixture of the two had been simultaneously infected with both strains, he or she could have served as an incubator for a hybrid virus able to transmit easily to and among people. So again, they're dealing with these live viruses, and if a mix-up occurs, then there could be a problem. And interesting to show you with these kind of mix-ups that do and can occur, certainly when we're looking at this particular section in Revelation, that these things will rise and fall, and the kind of things that can happen. There's one that is posted on the 28th of April. This is coming, let's see, where was this one from? Der Spiegel, from Der Spiegel. It says, swine flu container explodes on the train. When a container holding swine flu exploded on a Swiss train on Monday, it could have led to a nightmare scenario. Luckily, the virus was not the mutated swine flu that had killed around 150 people in Mexico and that has already spread to parts of Europe. But it says the containers were hermetically sealed and cooled with dry ice. However, it seems that the dry ice was not packed correctly. It melted during the journey. The gas coming up from the containers then built up too much pressure, and the ampules exploded as the train was pulling into a station. So again, when we're looking at what can actually be occurring, these kind of things have so far haven't actually resulted in, well, we don't know. Did this current swine flu come from something like that? As I say, we're not really sure, but be aware that prophetically, when we're looking at prophecies, not only are we looking at false prophets and false religions, wars, famines, we're also looking at pestilences, and these rise and fall, and some of these things that are happening today are certainly areas that we need to keep an eye on. But if you turn over a page or two, a page in my Bible, into chapter 9, you find that there's something else that actually is taking place as well at the same time. And it says the fifth angel sounded. Now here are the trumpets now, and you're looking at the woes, probably caused by man's intervention to some degree. Now exactly how much of this is man's, how much of it is natural disasters, it's not strictly clear. But it's interesting that when you look at the way in which God then intervenes, they almost mirror the trumpet plagues. It's almost as if God is adding to them and showing what really can be done. But here it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So presumably this is an angelic being, and it says that he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they shouldn't hurt the grass, nor the green thing, or any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So you're looking at here the seal of God in their foreheads, the people that are protected, but you're looking at the rest that are in the world at that time are going to have the problems, because the seal of the God in their forehead is contrasted with the mark of beast, of the beast in their foreheads and hands. And to them was given that they shouldn't kill, but they should tormented for 5 months. And their torment, is this therefore a pathogen which is released and has a pandemic for a case of 5 months? Or is this that the actual illness lasts for 5 months? It's unclear. But either way, it says, their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall be fleeing from them. And notice, where does it come from? It comes from a human, well, from a satanic source. But these locusts are helicopters, helicopter gunships, or whatever they are. They come out of the smoke, come out of presumably the industrial might of the nations, are going to have this almost like biological weaponry that will cause illness in the people that it comes in contact with, not killing them, notice. Now, when you think about the philosophy of using landmines, which people do, they are deliberately designed not to kill. They're designed to maim so that you then need five people to carry somebody who's lost a leg off the battlefield. The same kind of philosophy, the same kind of thinking is also applied. Can you see the same application that if they used a biological power that debilitated in such a degree that it would cause mayhem within an army? And you could see exactly the same kind of thing coming from these helicopter gunships or whatever these locusts happen to be. But it's part of the very trumpet plagues, which occur. You're looking after the even after the heavenly signs, after the tribulation, after the heavenly signs. Interestingly, here's this one from yesterday, from Friday, July the 24th. This is from Reuters now. It says that the H1N1 virus, now this is the swine flu virus, first discovered in Mexico and the United States, is a never-before-seen combination of swine, bird, and human flu strains. To get three combined like this is almost impossible in a natural sense. And this is why an awful lot of people are saying that this particular strain of flu, and it says last week the World Health Organization described H1N1 as the fastest moving pandemic ever seen. But on Friday it said that infections were still increasing substantially in many countries, even in countries that have already been affected for some time. So there's every indication that this is something which has been manufactured. And when you think of, when you're looking at this particular section here in chapter 9 of Revelation, it certainly sounds like they are going to be manufacturing certain biological warfare organisms. And when you think of the genetic engineering that is taking place today in all various spheres of life, in agriculture, in medicine, and in all these other spheres of life, you can bet your bottom dollar that it is also taking place to the same kind of degree in Porton Down, which is the biological and weapons research institution over here in the UK and elsewhere across the world. You can also bet your bottom dollar that if terrorists are wanting to attack a country, and they're wanting to say use weapons of mass destruction, it's not nuclear weapons that they will go to first. If they're wanting to develop weapons of mass destruction, the cheapest way of developing these kind of weapons is to do the biological route. Because all you need is a chemistry set, basically. I mean, quite a complex chemistry set, but a chemistry set which has got the right kind of safeguards to some degree, and with somebody with the knowledge and the access to the original bacteria or the viruses to manufacture and alter these microbes or whatever they are going to be using for these purposes. But you can absolutely guarantee that this is actually taking place, has already taken place to some degree. And every indication is that when we're looking at this particular virus, the one that has caused swine flu, it seems to be a manufactured virus of some description. How or some it has man's stamp on it. It's suddenly arisen in the middle of summer. It's spreading very, very quickly. It just has man's stamp on it. Now there's other things that if you go on the internet, you find that the people are speculating whether in fact it's the drug companies that started the thing away initially. But again, you can guarantee they also try and cover the tracks to a large degree. So when we're looking at prophecy, though, we need to be aware that when the fifth angel sounds in the trumpet plagues, now we're looking, so once the tribulation starts, you're looking about 3 years down the line, you are looking at biologically produced weaponry being used. And it seems very clear that this is the case when you read passages such as Revelation chapter 9. Now, as far as we are concerned, however, if we turn back to Psalm 91, we see very clearly here, in Psalm 91, where our hope and where our strength really has to come from. And certainly if you put this scripture together with Malachi chapter 3, and again put that in your notes, at the end of Malachi chapter 3, where it talks about those that feared the Eternal and those that thought on his name. So you've got to have a fear of the Eternal, and those that fear the Eternal will be keeping his commandments, will be wanting to, and thinking on his name. And also it's talking about them talking often one with another. He talks about the fellowship between the brethren. This is why it is imperative that we maintain that the links between each other, and also and the love between each other at this particular time when love is getting cold, and also our links with God, because only then, by having that common spirit, is that going to be possible. But if that is the case, then we look here in Psalm 91, and we see in verse 1, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now we're looking, as I say, in Malachi 3, where it talks about, "These shall be my jewels." You know, these shall be mine when I make up my jewels, when I make up my special treasure. And he'll be look after them as a son. And certainly it fits very, very well with that particular scripture. And that one is clearly in an end time setting. But here it says in verse 5, it says, "For you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by the day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you." Now, it is interesting that in Writers, this is, I'm not quite sure what date this is, but it says all U.S. children will get a seasonal flu shot. It says, this is from Washington, "All U.S. children aged 6 months to 18 years should get a seasonal influenza vaccine every year," the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention said on Friday. The CDC's Dr. Anne Schuchat, I think it is, said that the agency was strengthening recommendations for children to get the vaccination against seasonal influenza, especially with fears that the new H1N1 virus will be added to the already expected burden of seasonal flu. Now, if you want to go ahead onto the members' site section, you can actually download an immunization letter from the church, because that's not the way of God. You know, the church doesn't ban you from getting an injection or an inoculation, but it's not the way that we should be. That's not the direction in which we should be. We should be strengthening the immune system. We should be making sure we have the right relationship with God, the right relationship with each other, so that mentally we're strong, and also eating properly, so that, again, physically we're as strong as we can in this particular environment, and keeping things as natural as we can. But it says here, it says, "Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Eternal, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling." So these are the promises that are actually given to us. And within the current situation, within the swine flu epidemic, we need to go to God and ask him to show us what is necessary that we need to do as families and as individuals to make sure that this remains the case, that we do remain close to him, and that we do, as it says in verse 3, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers, under his wings you shall trust, and his truth shall be your shield and buckler."